When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Sarah Beth Pollock.
Hey everyone, we're back with another episode of the Undead Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Beth Pollock, and I am here today with a very special guest. My guest co-host for the day is Jeffrey Kopp. He is none other than the man who is behind one of the most popular Walking Dead Twitter accounts around. He's the one who has his finger on the pulse of the show. It's T Walking Dead World. I know you've heard of him. Even though you may not have heard of him, you may have heard of his account, because who doesn't know his account in the Walking Dead world? Jeffrey, I am so glad to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on the podcast and to dive into the new episodes that we've got this season. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, let's jump into it. Obviously there's been a huge wait to get to these episodes. So I think it's been one of those things where the anticipation has just been insane over the past several months. And now we're here. And I mean, I have to say the season premiere, like, I love how dark it is. I love, it's got the scares. It's got a lot of the stuff that really makes me love The Walking Dead. And I mean, how have you been enjoying the show since the season premiere?
Yeah, I feel like the thing that has stuck out to me most about season 11 so far is just how they've really gotten back to the horror roots, which is a part of the show that I've always loved, but it's not always that present, feeling of horror all the time. There's different genres that the show explores, but at its roots, that's what The Walking Dead is. And I feel like we've really been hit hard with that this season, especially with, everything with the Reapers, that looming threat of them, and then getting to see a little bit of them in episode 1103. And then obviously everything with the subway tunnel has just been downright terrifying. I do not like tight, closed spaces like that. So that kind of is like my worst nightmare. So that has been just like so cool, getting that horror vibe that is so important to the show, and getting to see all the characters kind of experience that level of threat, that where it's just constant fear and not knowing what's happening. And we got a lot of that with the Whispers too, but this is kind of almost a different type of horror, I feel like, because we kind of went through the Whispers and dealt with that, and now we're in this kind of, it's like a slasher film almost, where they're just, we don't know where that these people are. They're coming out of nowhere. They're attacking our people. So it's really, I'm really impressed with this season so far.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that, I mean, it's a credit to the writers and the, just the team behind the scenes, because, obviously they've been working on these scripts since the pandemic started. So they've had a lot more time to really refine them and get them to where they want them to be, because I agree 100%. I mean, these past three episodes have really dialed up the terror and, that aspect of the show that sometimes, it's a fine line, because it's hard to, I don't think anybody would want to see the show be just pure terror every week, because that's not, after a while, it's, you know, you have to change it up or else it just gets kind of stale, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, I think you're exactly right, because this is a threat. I mean, I actually see the Reapers as being, you know, infinitely more terrifying than some of the other villains we've faced, because they're organized and they're hidden and, you know, they have some agenda, you know, even in this past week's episode, like we learn about what they're doing and why they're doing it to some extent, but it still doesn't, you know, like that doesn't change how terrifying they are. It actually, like, learning how intentional they are about it makes it even more terrifying, because you don't know what the rules are. And it seems like the rules are constantly kind of being written in the middle of this battlefield that they're on. And it's terrifying.
Yeah. And it kind of elevates the terror when we have all of these characters at Alexandria dealing with a whole other crisis where they've been so decimated by the war with the Whispers, and they're kind of trying to build things back up, and they don't have food, and they're struggling hard, and they're also having to deal with this crisis of the Reapers coming at them while they're on a mission to get food. And that just adds to the intensity and the horror and the stress of it. And I really like that they're kind of mixing all these threats at once and kind of hitting the characters really hard. I mean, it's the final season, so the stakes need to be really high. And I feel like for at least these first three episodes, I know I've been stressed the entire time, and you can tell that the characters are too, because it's one thing after another.
Oh yeah. And you get to that point, especially with not having food. Like it's one thing to be in the middle of a pursuit, you know, that predator prey aspect where, you know, like with the Whispers, where you feel like you're being pursued and you have to, you know, constantly be on guard. But when you add in that level of that layer of not having food and not knowing where your next meal is going to come from, and, you know, the level of exhaustion that comes from, you know, trying to fortify the walls and trying to figure out where to get food and how to, you know, mentally prepare. Because I talked to this week, I talked with Nadia Hilker and Angel Theory about it, and they were talking about how, you know, Magda and Kelly, like, everybody knows that the Reapers are out there, like the people who are back at Alexandria, but the people at Alexandria are also really focused on this food thing. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's hard to focus on anything else when you don't know, you know, where the food is coming from. So it's, I think that's what makes these episodes really kind of special, because it does give that, you know, so far things have worked out. They'll find a cellar full of food, or they'll find something. And now you've gotten to the point, I had to Google this. I will tell you this. I Googled how long MREs last, because I really needed to know how that all worked. Like, surely they couldn't just, you know, keep going. And they do have like as you approach 10 years, they really stop becoming edible. And so, you know, at this point, you're kind of in a situation where if you don't have a food source, I mean, canned goods are just not going to cut it anymore. So they're in a situation here.
And I really like how they're kind of building off of what happened last season, because, I mean, they had a pretty good thing going with, you know, the hilltop was kind of their main source of agriculture for a long time, and the Whispers completely wiped that out. So that's out of the equation entirely now, and that's affecting everyone at Alexandria now. And they have all the people from the hilltop, from the kingdom, living in this one community, and they don't have their main food source anymore. So they're having to basically scramble to find whatever they can. And I mean, there's not really, like you said, there's just not that many options left. They've lost their main source of food. So that just makes things all the more difficult and stressful and desperate.
Oh, absolutely. And it definitely drives us into the Commonwealth story and everything that's yet to come. But I'm really intrigued by, you know, how this is playing out, because, you know, we're three episodes in. So Hunted just aired a couple of days ago, and we have, you know, there's this group that had gone out to get food. And then you have the group that's still back at Alexandria and they're trying to figure out, you know, what to do. And, it's so interesting how things have played out. And I think it all kind of comes to a head. The first two episodes really set up everything that happens in episode three. And it's really interesting to see where everybody is at this point, because they had some wins, but they also had some really big setbacks.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me a lot of, you know, those last couple of minutes at the end of season eight, once the war was over, the war with the Saviors, where we kind of saw everyone catch their breath a little bit. And we saw like Gabriel return to Alexandria, and we saw Morgan go to the junkyard, and we saw kind of everyone just breathe a little bit, knowing that Negan was defeated and that was all over. And it kind of feels similar to that, in that, you know, they're dealing with the aftermath of the Whisper War. I mean, that was a long conflict that they had to deal with. They suffered so many losses, not just in terms of people, but I mean, they lost communities, they lost all kinds of different, you know, infrastructure in their society. So I really like how we're kind of in this, it's almost like a blank slate, I feel, to start this final season, where everyone's kind of doing their own thing. We have like Eugene and that group going to the Commonwealth to kind of see if they can get some help, because they know how bad things are. They obviously don't know what's happened since, you know, the Whisper War has ended, but I totally agree. It's an interesting sort of place that they're in now.
And it, unfortunately, it looks like anyone in Maggie's group, the group that followed her from, you know, that followed her into season 11, Elijah aside, we're still missing a couple of people in episode three, the people that kind of scattered, and then we're not really sure where they are at this point. But Maggie's losing a lot of people really fast, and it's kind of hard to watch, because they're literally being picked off like flies by these Reapers. And it, you know, she suffered some big losses this week.
It makes me so sad. That whole episode where all of her people were dying just made me so sad, because I feel like Maggie, I mean, everyone's obviously lost a lot over the course of this show, but I feel like Maggie has probably lost the most out of anyone. And we really didn't even get a chance to see her mourn the deaths that happened while she was gone. So like Tara and Jesus and Enid, we really didn't get the chance to see that. So she's of course having to deal with being back and those people not being here anymore, and dealing with all of her people that she met while she was away being dead now. So it's a awful, awful situation that she's in. Now she's essentially just stuck with Negan now, which is obviously not a situation she wants to be in at all. So they're throwing Maggie just through the ringer this season, which I kind of expected, just because I knew she was coming back to some kind of awkward situations with Negan kind of being on the loose and everything changing. But Maggie's having a rough start to season 11 so far.
Yeah, I know, she really is. And it's funny, because I was talking with Lori Fortier on the podcast last week, and she brought Agatha to life in these past three episodes. And one thing we were kind of laughing about was that group would make a really interesting episode of Tales of the Walking Dead, because they're, you know, they wouldn't have to do that much with, like, in terms of their appearances, like they're ready to go. So I'm kind of hoping that somewhere out there we're getting to, you know, maybe the Walking Dead powers that be are kind of thinking ahead and saying, hey, let's do an episode of Tales with Maggie and this group, because I think everybody, and certainly they would have to do it. They would have to, I'm hoping they're thinking that far ahead, because certainly little Herschel isn't going to be little for very much longer. You know, he's gonna be growing, and it's going to be hard to replace him because he's so perfect. So I'm looking and hoping that maybe we get some Tales of the Walking Dead out of these, you know, these people that we're meeting briefly, like the groups that we're meeting fleetingly, because it would be fun to know more about them.
I would love that, because I was when they were first introduced, I was like, oh, these are going to be like Maggie's crew for the whole season. And then this episode, episode 1103, they just were taken out one by one. And I was like, well, there goes my, I'm clearly not good at predicting, because I was expecting them all to basically survive the season. And they just got taken out one by one. The one that really surprised me a lot was Cole, because we met him during the first bonus episode at the end of season 10. And I kind of, I don't know why, I just kind of expected him to kind of be Maggie's right hand man throughout the season. And then in the opening minutes of 1103, he was taken out. So that was shocking. I would love to learn more about, you know, their backstory and see what they were up to before the present day. But I love that idea.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's I think we all know as a collective fandom that, you know, you can't get too attached to anybody. But yeah, it seems like they were they exited a little quickly, and I'd love to know more, because it just, I mean, how is Herschel going to ride Duncan's shoulders? Like, what's going to happen there? Like, it's so heartbreaking to think that all of these.
I know. I was like. I was like, poor Herschel, he just lost all these people that were essentially his family. He's now without all these people that he grew really close to. So we're going to have to, I'm presuming we're going to see like him have to deal with that side of the loss that his mom is too familiar with at this point.
Yeah, seriously. But as you said, you know, now she's on the road, she's with Negan, and I don't think it was a surprise. I think they teased this enough and released enough photos for people to kind of see that that's where they were going with Negan. And you know, I have to say that I really appreciate how they've crafted these conversations and the back and forth between them, because it's such an awkward thing. And I know that there's so many really strong opinions on Negan and especially Negan when it comes to Maggie. So it's a minefield of trying to navigate that story. But I really feel like they've done some really brilliant stuff with those two characters, and it really came out in 1103.
Oh, definitely. And that's something I was thinking about while I was watching the episode, is that this is kind of our first time seeing Maggie and Negan together like this, because before it was obviously so different. You know, before she left, he was locked up for that period of time, and then before that, for season 7 and season 8, you know, they were at war with one another. So we've never seen them in this type of scenario where he's not the bad guy that he once was, but he's obviously not her best friend, and they're kind of just having to work together and survive. He is free and he could leave if he wanted to, but he is staying and he's helping. And it's just such a weird and awkward dynamic, but I think it's so interesting. And it's something that I was really excited to see before the season started. And it's been so interesting to see them interact and see the other characters sort of pick sides, almost seeing like how Daryl views it happening, see how Gabriel watches it. It's just such an interesting story, and I'm glad it's kind of been the focus of these first three episodes really heavily, because it's been a long time coming, their reunion, and this was always what was going to happen.
Yeah, and I honestly think that this is a really good look at what could have been, because I really see, you know, in a vacuum, if nothing had ever happened and they had come together, I could see them working together really well as a team. I could see that with Carol and Negan too. Like, I can see a lot of their individual traits really working well together, if not for this, you know, the shared tragedy of what happened and how it all happened. Like, you know, you can't forget that. But at the same time, I see if you could make all of that go away, I could really see them being a dynamic partnership, you know, and especially knowing, like, you know, if you take that step outside and say, okay, like, let's imagine that something happened to Glenn and, you know, Negan wasn't to blame for it. I could see Negan kind of stepping into the role that he stepped in with Judith, where he's, you know, kind of watching out for Herschel and fighting with, you know, alongside Maggie. And like, I can see those elements all playing out, and it, because of how they set the story up, it makes sense. But now it just is, it's, you know, obviously it's way too complicated for that to actually be a reality, but I could see it in an alternate universe.
Oh, totally. And that's what I have always liked about the character of Negan, specifically in the time that, you know, after the war ended and he was locked up and kind of had to redeem himself in certain ways, is that he's a unique villain in the sense that we're actually getting to see this side of him, whereas I don't think it would have worked with like the governor, and it definitely wouldn't have worked with Alpha or Beta, but Negan, it works story-wise. And, you know, that's an interesting story to tell, is the villain having to work with the people that he was once against. And especially in a world like The Walking Dead, where, you know, everything's a gray area, I think it just fits perfectly. And we're really getting to see that these first three episodes specifically, where, you know, there's the sort of implications of everything that's happened since he was introduced kind of coming out at once. So I really love it so far, what we're seeing with him.
Yeah. And I'm so invested and just full disclosure for everybody listening, Jeffrey and I had a conversation prior to the podcast about, you know, our feelings about how confusing AMC Plus is, but I don't know when I'm going to see the new, like, I guess it's going to be a couple of weeks before we know what's going on beyond episode 1104, which some people have seen and some people haven't. So that's why we're not talking about it, incidentally, but I'm really excited and I hope we get to see more, because I'm really invested in what is happening with Maggie and Negan now. And it's an interesting thing, because I never thought I would be there, you know, as a viewer, but I'm totally invested. I want to see what happens.
Yeah. And that's what I really liked about episode 1103 also, was it wasn't just about Negan and Maggie's relationship, but it was also, we got to see Alden mixed in there, which was something that I didn't really think of much until recently. But, you know, he was once a savior. He was once someone that had to answer to Negan. And in the middle of the war, he came over to Maggie's side. And now he's kind of caught in the middle of the two of them in this sort of weird situation where it's his former boss and his current boss, and they're butting heads, and he's obviously on team Maggie, but, you know, him and Maggie kind of butted heads a little bit when they were on the train and the whole thing that happened with Gage. So that's why I loved these interactions that we're getting with Negan, with characters that you wouldn't really expect. That's why I really loved the stuff with him and Carol last season, because that's not something we ever really got to see. And now we're getting the chance to see all of that kind of play out. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that one of the things I really liked about Alden being involved in this little circle is that he was there when Maggie was making the very obvious, but still very difficult decision to take care of Gregory. And, you know, he wasn't too comfortable with it. Kind of reminded me of Glenn when they were, you know, when he was trying to like talk Rick out of going after the outpost, you know, which is where, you know, that ended up happening, and there was nothing they can, you know, they couldn't go back from it, but Glenn wasn't too comfortable about it. And, you know, Alden having been on the inside of the sanctuary and knowing what the saviors were about, like he knew that, you know, that's a decision that you can't come back from. Like once you decide to do that, even if it's in the name of justice, you can't change that. And so there was a moment when they were in that subway car and, you know, Gage was about to die. I think that I like to think that that was going through Alden's head, because he knows that Maggie is able to make those difficult decisions for better or for worse. Like, I think he was kind of like, are we in a good spot here? You know, because, you know, Negan did make a good point. I mean, like as not, like he was like, hey, she's going to kill me. Like who knows what's going to happen here. And I think the wheels were kind of turning, and I think he's glad that my sense is that he's glad that things worked out the way they did, but man, for a moment there, they could have gone very, very differently. And it would have, you know, there would have been a lot of things different about that if they had gone that direction.
Yeah, there's so many different dynamics at play, just mostly because of the long history that these characters have with one another. I mean, even having Gabriel in the mix of all that, you know, he's had his own moments with Negan throughout the time on the show. I think back to season 8 when he was trapped at the sanctuary pretty much the entire season. They had their deep conversations about, you know, everything that Negan was about. And it's just so interesting seeing them having to now fight alongside one another and work together. And you can tell no one's really comfortable with Negan being around, but people have their own different opinions about it, about what's about it being good for, you know, the community and whatnot. It's a very interesting thing to see with the history of the show and its characters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that was just one of the stories that was playing out this week. You know, and in addition to all of the people we lost and all of the crazy things that were happening on the journey to Meridian, back in Alexandria, there was a whole other kind of situation going on because they're still looking for food. And the one thing I have to preface this because, and I think I've kind of said this a couple of times, but this episode had one of my all-time favorite moments of the entire series and my absolute least favorite moment ever, all within the same episode. And it all had to do with what was going on in Alexandria.
The horses.
Yep, the horses. It was the horses. Man, that really, like, I have so many thoughts, and I would love to know your thoughts, because the thing that jumps out to me, I think the quest to go get the horses was absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, that they needed to do that. And I loved the scene where they were wrangling the horses and working together. That was just a beautiful scene. That's the one that's one of my favorites, just because you don't get wins very often in this universe. And so for things to work out the way they did, and for these four women to come together who probably never would have known each other outside of the apocalypse, for them to work together, it was just a beautiful moment. I'm not sold on the need to kill the damn horse. And it still bothers me to this moment. Like I could deal with the horse pieces. That's one thing. Okay, fine. They're dead. Like, whatever. But did you really need to kill the horse? I don't know.
Well, it's so funny because the whole episode, I was like, this is shockingly nice and upbeat for an episode of The Walking Dead, especially considering what Maggie and them are going through. I'm like, I guess they're just giving us something nice and light. And I mean, that's what it was. We need those moments where things are, you know, going well and we get wins. And I think that was very important to the episode. But then as they got back to Alexandria and Carol was walking away with the one horse, I had this terrible feeling in my stomach. I was like, I think she might be taking that horse to slaughter it. And then she laid it down and I was like, I really don't want to see this. I don't need to see this. And they went there because this show just has a thing with horses where if there's a horse on screen, it's going to die at some point. And I understand it. Like they're not in a good situation. And I like to think that if I were in that situation, I'd be able to eat the horse. But I was when I saw the kids, I was like, yeah, I get you guys. I wouldn't want to eat the horse. That's like it's like their pet, basically. It's like if they were eating dog or something. I mean, it's terrible. But they're kind of, I mean, it is a good point. They are so desperate at this point. And Alexandria has got a lot of people living there right now, so any food that they do find would go pretty fast. So I get it. I think it's like a necessary evil almost that they had to take the horse down, but I don't know if we need to see it. We don't need to see it all the time. Every time they have a horse, we have to see it die so graphically. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no, it felt a little gratuitous, honestly. Like, I felt like it was, you know, for all the things that can happen in a show with zombies, and especially after, you know, watching Agatha be eaten to death, and obviously shout out to Greg Nicotero for a great cameo. But yeah, it's funny to me that they keep going back to that. And I feel like it's almost like a running joke at this point, because it keeps happening. And, you know, they even gave a shout out to Buttons, and, you know, like, I get it, but I also struggle. The thing that I struggle with the most, because all those other horses were dead, I don't know that killing a finite resource was the right way to go. Like, I get the need to eat, but I also remember, like, not that much time has passed, and they said they had a week's worth of food, and I don't think they've been in that week yet. So it makes me wonder why Carol made that decision, as opposed to maybe riding out and, you know, trying to get to Oceanside to do some fishing, or get to a lake where, you know, because the Whisperers wouldn't have scared away the fish. They scared away the wildlife, but not the fish. So is it possible that there were other options that might have, I'm thinking about that old expression about the, you know, give a man a fish, you know, you've given him a meal, but teach him how to fish and he has a lot of meals. Like, was there a better way to use that horse? And was it to get somewhere that has food that can be replenished? Because now they're down, all the other horses are dead. There's no, you know, all of their vehicles have been destroyed. All of their everything's been done. And while I know it on an intellectual level that this was done to further the story, I get that part, but I just, part of me is like, I don't know that was, like, I hate to see all of the, I was telling someone the other day, I felt like, not only was it a gratuitous kill for the horse, but I felt like it was a gratuitous suffering for Carol to be the one to make that decision, when I feel like there were other options, because Carol's just been suffering like crazy. And it's like, did she really have to do that and have it happen that way? That just seems like, oh, that's just a lot for Carol. Jeez.
That's what I was thinking when she was leading the horse away. I was like, do we have to have Carol be the one to do this right now? Can someone else step forward and do it, please? Because she does not need to be the one to go through with this, especially, I mean, it hasn't been that long since everything happened with the Whisperers. So she's still in a rough place. And that's why I really did like the moment where Aaron comes in and kind of, he doesn't even have to say anything. He's just there with her. And I love those little moments like that, where, you know, we see the bond that the characters have with one another, where he knows what she's going through. He knows she's going through a really rough and dark time right now. And he was just there for her in that little tiny moment. And that's what I liked about Rosita too. She could tell that, you know, that was a difficult thing for Carol to have to do. And oh, it was just brutal. I knew as soon as I saw the horses, I was like, oh, this is just going to be one of those episodes.
It's so funny to me how that just, like, it's universally just one of those things that gets fans going. Like, you see a horse and you're like, oh man. I mean, not to jump over to fear, but I worried about the dog, you know, with the nuclear missile. I mean, it's fine. I thought about the horses that people were riding, like all of the horses died and all of the stuff. And it's like, oh my God, like, this show is not very animal friendly, except for dog.
Well,
you know,
well, I mean, you look back to the very first episode of Walking Dead, and the horse that Rick rode into Atlanta on died in the final moments of that first episode. So it's kind of ingrained in the DNA of the show almost. And
that's true.
It really is like a running joke at this point. Every time there's a horse on screen, we know it's not going to end well, most likely.
No, it's you're exactly right. And I have a feeling that won't be the last time that we have to see this, but hopefully things work out. But I'm still wondering, you know, I'm thinking about where there's still a lot of people that we haven't seen yet. And I'm wondering, you know, what is going on in Oceanside? Is Oceanside still Oceanside? Is it, you know, they managed to do anything there, or, you know, could they get there and get some fish? Like, it seems like, you know, I don't want to be an armchair quarterback at this point, but it's like, damn it, go get some fish. Like, fish.
Yeah, like, Oceanside, you need to pull your weight a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're kind of lifted, or they've been kind of pushed to the side, and we haven't really heard a lot. I mean, I know that the whisperers were there, and, you know, potentially, I don't know what, we never got the full story of what was going on there, but I feel like the ocean's still there. So,
yeah.
Go fishing, go. I feel like you can get there now. You've got a horse, go get some fish.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering what might happen if, you know, I mean, things are really bad in Alexandria right now. And we saw what happened to the kingdom, you know, when things got really bad there, they ended up having to leave the kingdom behind. So I'm wondering if the same thing might happen here at Alexandria, if they'll have to, you know, give up the community at some point, move maybe to Oceanside, or if the Commonwealth will come into play with that at all, or what might happen there. But I mean, the kingdom wasn't destroyed by, you know, an attack by the whispers or anything. It was destroyed by years of kind of weathering, and there were fires and whatnot. But I have this weird feeling that Alexandria is just, it's not going to be able to be saved. So it's a weird place right now for the whole community to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like that was done to move the story along, and it kind of makes sense that, you know, in those, when people are in that the last throes of desperation is when they make decisions that are either good or bad. And, you know, and for some people who haven't read the comics, like, they don't know what's coming with the Commonwealth. They don't know, you know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it, you know, no one really knows at this point. We can hope that they would be helpful, and we can hope that there's, you know, some kind of benefit to be found, you know, when Maggie and Negan, if they reach Meridian. But I feel like this is kind of setting up that the kind of desperation that forces people to, you know, maybe say goodbye to Alexandria and move on somewhere else because they have to, whether or not they actually want to.
Yeah. The feeling that the show kind of has right now reminds me a lot of the season 5 days when they were traveling from Georgia to Virginia, when the group was kind of on the road and they were in a really bad place for a while and didn't really, they had no food. They had very limited, you know, ammunition and any kind of resources at all. And when they were eating the horses in this most recent episode, I couldn't help but think about the dogs, when they had to eat the dogs on the side of the road, because I was sitting there watching the kids and I was like, wow, their parents at one point were sitting on the side of the road eating dog, and these kids, you know, are kind of in a terrible situation that's not too different because of desperation. So it really gives me that same sort of feeling as season 5 and also season 6, where, you know, the wolves attacked and left the community in a really rough place. That kind of, it's that desperation that, you know, there's kind of always that lingering desperation just because of the state of the world that they're in, but they have highs and lows, and this is definitely a low that they're in right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's only, it feels like it's only going to keep getting worse. And I have to say, as we, you know, after kind of dissecting the episode, I have to say that, you know, given that we're heading into the halfway point with 11:04 next week, and there's only 8 episodes in each segment, this is where, you know, it's been crazy so far, but this is where it goes up a notch. And it now we're really going to start seeing some crazy stuff, because this is when this is the halfway point to the first part of the season. And it's crazy to think that that we're already here, but it's crazy to think that, you know, this is where we are and that there's so much going on, and really there's no certainty anywhere. Like there's no, you know, they had a momentary win, when they were able to get the horses and you know, they can eat the one horse and hopefully they don't have to eat more of the horses, but you know, it doesn't get them very far. It gets them a meal, a couple of meals at most. So something really has to happen quickly.
Yeah, and that's why I'm hoping, you know, the Commonwealth works out. That ends up being kind of a win for our people. But where it stands right now, I'm very hesitant and I'm very suspicious because they seem really intense and I have no clue how that'll play out. But if it ends up being a win, that would obviously be really good for our people. But, you know, that's also so far away that it's such a distance that, you know, we don't know how that'll play out. If they'll come to us, if we'll go to them, we don't really know.
Yeah. And for all we know, a helicopter could show up and pick everybody up. We don't.
Oh gosh.
At this point, all the rules are changed because everything that was supposed to happen probably won't happen the way we thought it would, you know, a few years ago. So yeah, we're in uncharted water right now.
Yep. It's definitely an interesting place to be, especially for the final season, because, you know, you kind of always go into a season knowing certain things will happen, certain story points will happen. You know that once we reach the end of the season, they'll be setting up for the next season. But here, this is it. This is the last season and it's kind of all bets are off. Anyone can die. Anyone can, you know, anything can happen to anyone. Anyone can disappear and maybe end up on a spinoff. So we really kind of are in an interesting place where the show could go any way. And that's what's most exciting to me about, you know, going into each episode is that everything's just so unpredictable, more so than it has been probably for the entire run of the show.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that makes it, at least from my perspective, it really makes for a more enjoyable viewing experience because there is so much possibility loaded with each scenario. You know, just because someone dies doesn't mean they're dead, you know, that they could come back and that stories that aren't told could be told elsewhere. And, you know, there's so much possibility that, it's cliche at this point, but man, what a great time to be a Walking Dead fan. Like I never would have thought 10 years ago that this is where we'd be, but we've got spinoffs, we've got movies coming, we've got all kinds of stuff. And the show's ending and it doesn't really matter because we've got all this cool stuff coming.
And that's what I kind of remind myself when I get sad that the show is ending. But I know that, you know, of course the main show is ending and that is sad, but we have so much that's coming still. And we have so much that could be coming in the future that we might not even know about yet. The stuff that we're seeing now could be planting seeds for stories that could come years from now. And that's, to me, what's really exciting is that, like you said, it's such a cool time to be a fan. And if you would have told me that I would be this excited about the whole franchise, like 2 years ago when we knew, or 3 years at this point, when Rick was leaving, I would not believe you because I was worried, but I mean, this is kind of the most vibrant and, you know, expansive that the whole franchise has ever been. So I think it's a really, really good time to be a fan of The Walking Dead right now.
I agree 100%. And I just have to say thank you to you, Jeffrey, because you are kind of the glue that's holding the whole fandom together with your Twitter account.
You.
You've got your finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. So thank you for kind of being the torchbearer, as it were, and carrying us through, you know, the dark times and the good times, because there it kind of ebbs and flows with this show. And so it's always nice knowing that you're the rock helping to keep the foundation steady.
Well, thank you so much. That means so much. It's funny because I always say this is more than a lot of shows and a lot of, you know, fandoms. This fandom is really unique in the sense that it kind of never shuts up, which I say that with all the love and no hate, but I mean, we can find stuff to talk about really at any point, even during the long hiatus when all the shows were up in the air. People were still talking about the smallest, most minuscule things about the show. And that's what I love about this fandom, is that we keep going no matter what. And it's really a community. There's always bickering, which obviously is not great, but the fans really are so dedicated, and we have this beautiful community where we can keep things active and keep the conversation going, even when the show's not on, even when things are up in the air. And that's what I love so much. Even stuff like, you know, this podcast, that's so cool that we have this cool thing that we can do where we can talk about the show. Cause you truly don't see that with every media, you know, piece of entertainment. So that's what I love about The Walking Dead, aside from, you know, the story, is just this side of things.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And obviously this is something I've been wanting to do. I'm so glad that you're able to join me for this episode. And I would really love to have you back. And so I think we should make this a thing, and hopefully we can find time to talk about the other stuff. I mean, there's so much to talk about in the world of The Walking Dead, and you know, not just The Walking Dead anymore. There's Fear the Walking Dead, and there's World Beyond, and those are both coming out next month, and a bright future too. So I would love to have you back, and so we can do this again.
Definitely, I can talk about Walking Dead nonstop. I will not shut up about it.
Well, that's good, because there's never, like you say, there's never a shortage of things to talk about. So it's always good to have people who are enthusiastic. And, you know, like I said, you are the torchbearer when it comes to the world of The Walking Dead. So I am just thrilled that we were able to do this. And I think we should do this again.
Definitely. I'd love to. That'd be so much fun.
Well, cool. Well, I am going to we're going to cut this right here. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And, you know, if you, the listeners, have ideas for future podcasts or things that you want to hear on the show, just send me a tweet, you know, tweet me at Sarah Beth Pollock. You know, certainly you can reach out to Jeffrey at T Walking Dead World, and, you know, we can do this again. And I would love to have that input from everybody. And so on behalf of Jeffrey and myself, I just want to thank everybody for listening this far, remind everybody to subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, leave a comment. All of that helps to keep the podcast going. So I appreciate it. And as always, I want to remind everybody to stay safe, wash your hands, and watch out for those walkers. Thanks, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.